Sunday the 22nd of October 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Rivers of Love. Sermon title, Yielding Fruit. Bible reading, Psalm 1, and our talk is by Reverend Christine Harding.
The reading this morning is Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Carol, for reading God's word for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that as I open up your word, that you would speak into each of our hearts and minds. Father, it is you that grow us. It is you that nurtures us. So come by the power of your Holy Spirit and change our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We continue with our series, Rivers of Love. And this morning we'll be looking at yielding fruit. A little boy went over to the vicar's house where he was doing some carpentry in his garage. The boy just simply stood there and watched him for quite some time. Now the vicar wondered why this little boy was standing there watching him. And so, curiously, he stopped and said to him, "Son, are you trying to pick up some pointers on how to build something?" And the little boy replied, "No, I'm just waiting here to hear what a vicar says when he hits his thumb with a hammer." Often we will find out what we and others are made of by what comes out of their mouths, in both good and bad circumstances. Now this morning we are looking at what David says in Psalm 1. David captures the heart of the matter in that we sometimes focus on the wrong things and expect great outcomes. What David tells us is that if we want the outcome that God has for us, we must focus on his things and not the worldly things that so easily tempt and influence us. When we focus on God, we will not be fooled by the green grass in someone else's yard. We all want a spring bubbling up within us, don't we? But what kind of spring are we searching for? Is it a dribble or a gushing river? God wants us to experience life as a gushing river full of all the good things he wants to bless us with. This psalm is all about how we are going to live that life, the one that God has blessed us with. Now we can either live it with the mockers and play at being a Christian, or we can do God's calling. We can give him all our time and energy. We can go beyond what is expected of us so that we become like a gushing river full of life, like a strong tree bearing much fruit as we serve God with our whole life and also those around us whom God has put in our path. God's word was written to be studied, understood and applied. And this psalm tackles two different roads The life of the faithful person is contrasted with the life of the faithless person. The author begins this psalm by extolling the joys of obeying God and refusing to listen to those who discredit or ridicule him. Many of us have friends and family who do not share the same beliefs that we do. But the way we handle those differences matter. Do we become like them when in their company? Or do we stand up for God and keep our integrity? Those who remain faithful to God, whatever their status or circumstances, will be blessed. And as they experience God's blessing, their happy condition is compared to a healthy tree bearing fruit with strong roots. And that is exactly what God wants for you and for me, to grow strong in our faith, putting down strong, healthy roots that will be able to stand fast when the hurricanes of this world hit us in our daily lives, because they will at some time or other. It's important that we plant ourselves near a stream of knowledge and wealth based on God's word. Then we will be able to stand our ground as we allow him to nurture and grow us. Sometimes I have to ask myself why we do what we do. Is it really solely for God, or is it for what we can get out of it? Whatever we do, whether it is up front or behind the scenes, whether we are paid or not, the question we need to ask ourselves is, are we willing to go that extra mile as together we build God's church here in Chapel Heath, doing the work he has called us all to do, because it is all of our responsibility to ensure that God's house and surroundings are taken care of. Genesis 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." Very simply, God states the purpose for which he created the garden, because it was in the garden that he revealed the foundations which we are to build our lives on. It's a training program, not just for Adam and Eve, but also for you and me. God has given us boundaries and instructions, and we know that Adam and Eve broke those boundaries. And because of their disobedience, sin entered the world. And we are living with those mistakes. But because God loves us so much, he has given us a get out of jail free card. His son, Jesus Christ. The next step is up to us. We can continue to live in disobedience, causing us to live out of fellowship with creation, or we can make a difference. Adam's job in the garden was to tend and keep, or cultivate and guard. Cultivation is the effort a farmer makes to ensure that he will produce a bountiful crop. He ploughs the ground, fertilizes it, plants the seed, then he promotes further growth by watering, weeding, and so forth. If the farmer, however, is lazy and fails to cultivate the ground to promote growth, then what occurs is that nature takes its course and the farm begins to degenerate. We see that in our own gardens, don't we? When we do not spend time tending the weeds, they seem to appear, don't they, and they begin to choke the flowers. And the grass grows wild. That's why we have parties from time to time, either here or at Somerville. Because we have a responsibility to tend God's garden, which goes much further than just cutting grass or weeding. It covers everything, all areas of church life and those in it. Are we doing our part? Are we caring for what God has given us? Are we caring for those around us? Are we willing to forget self and step out in faith, listening to God's call on our lives? Or are we just sitting back and allowing others to do the work that God has called all of us to do? Because there is much work to be done. Jesus says to his disciples in Matthew 9, 37 to 38, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Are you willing to be one of those workers? We all have a responsibility to bring new growth and tend what God has given us, whether it is a paid position or part of our giving to God. Let's look at it in a different way. Suppose you own a new house, complete with a fresh coat of paint on the exterior. If nothing is ever done to maintain the house in good condition, the house will degenerate very quickly. The same applies to a car. If you never service or wash it, eventually degeneration will surely occur. God's purpose is for us to cultivate what we have been given, both physically and spiritual things. We can cultivate what God has given us in two ways, either by drawing on the influence of ungodly leaders, or we can draw on the voice of God through his word to encourage and guide us to do what is right. God, and only God, is our salvation. He has put everything in place for us when he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He opened the way. And if we neglect this salvation, our spiritual lives are going to degenerate. We all go through different stages throughout our Christian life. We can have a rushing, almost torrent faith when everything seems to be going well. And other times, the water is more like a slow running stream when we need time, perhaps, to regenerate. And of course, we will face times of drought when everything around us seems to be like a parched and dried up river. And it's especially at those times that we need our roots to go down deep into the water to keep us from falling into a dark pit. When we have deep roots, we can override anything that the world throws at us. Sometimes we may need the help of professionals or other committed Christians. But we never have to face them alone, because God wants us to continually draw from his well, the well that never dries up. We can gain these deep roots by spending time in prayer and reading his word daily. We have resources like the Word for Today, which have small bite pieces for us to meditate on. Maybe it's through a house group where we can ask those searching questions, where we can get support and love for each one of us. because the Lord requires us to delight in him every day, because he delights in us and counts us worthy. God requires the same from us that we give to others. Like we delight in spending time with family and friends, eating our favourite food, going out for meals, watching our favourite sports programme or soap. But it does not matter what delights us, but whatever it is, it's that same feeling we get when we enjoying something is what God wants from us for him. He wants us to remain consistent both day and night, bringing life not just to us, but through us to others. A tree brings shade and protection, fruit to eat, branches for birds to nest in, and God is calling us to offer all of that. Don't allow our spirits to be downcast or influenced by the world's sinfulness. Remain constant in our love for God, always showing compassion, love and joy, as together we serve the living Lord. Three things I would like us to take away from this talk. And the first is, be deliberate in how we live life. God says don't coast through life, because how we live has eternal consequences. Matthew 7:13 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. The gate that leads to eternal life is called narrow. This does not mean that it is difficult to become a Christian, but there is only one way to live eternally with God. And sadly, only a few decide to walk that road. Living God's way may not be popular, but it is true and right. If you were walking on a tightrope, you would step very carefully, thinking about every step that you took. It's that same careful thinking about each of our steps that God wants us to consider every day how we live our lives. And secondly, be anchored down. We all need a firm anchor in life. That's why it's important to read the Bible, which holds rock solid truths about Jesus that keep our lives on track. Jesus is the sure anchor of every believer. When a ship is in danger of drifting in a storm, it is kept safe by its anchor when dropped onto the seabed or fastened to an immovable object. Jesus must be the immovable person in our lives, because at times our faith may be small, but his strength is enough to sustain us, to carry us through, to finish the race, and to win the prize of eternal life. Verse 3 speaks of the wicked being like chaff, which is a symbol of a faithless life that drifts along without direction, blown around by the slightest wind. Don't allow the chaff to be part of our lives. Rather, let our lives be like the leaves on the tree by the river that never withers. And lastly, be blessed. God continually wants to bless us, but he cannot do that if we do not spend time with him. Blessings are missed because we fail to put God's purpose, priorities, and plans first. God wants to delight in us as much as he wants us to delight in him. We need to understand that God's blessings do not come to us because of our goodness, but because we are God's children. There are two big takes here for you and me. The first is to joyfully receive all the blessing God gives us. We must acknowledge, embrace, and celebrate God's blessings in our lives, because we cannot give anybody else what we do not have. We must come to see ourselves as richly blessed by God. When the greatest teacher who ever lived preached the greatest sermon ever taught, it started with a single word, and that word was blessed. The Beatitudes are eight blessings recounted in the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew 5:3-10. Each is a proverb, like proclamation, without narrative, cryptic, precise, and full of meaning. Each one includes a topic that forms a major biblical theme. They contrast kingdom values, which are eternal, with worldly values that are temporary. To Jesus, blessed means the experience of hope and joy, independent of outward circumstances. And secondly, as we experience God's blessing, he wants us to joyfully give all the blessings that we can. Bless the people you work with, your families and friends, the stranger on the street. In fact, bless whoever God sends your way throughout the day. And one way that we can do this is by caring for them, listening to their needs, praying for them, and loving them. Because when we focus on what God has blessed us with and work hard to maintain it, our lives will be different. For true Christians, the proof of blessing is in the doing of what God asks and requires. By living God's way of life, we come to recognize spiritual blessings, normally not seen with the naked eye. Maybe it's a long overdue since we have taken a refreshing look through eyes of faith at what we've missed and recount our blessings. We may be surprised at how much more blessed we are than we had imagined. I couldn't help but think of a hymn I used to sing when I was young. Count your blessings. There are two lines from the chorus that come to mind. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. How true is that? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the blessings that you do pour upon us. Father, we pray that as we accept those blessings, we will give them out to those who do not know you. Father, you call us to tend and cultivate your garden, to nurture, to grow. Father, we call upon the power of your Holy Spirit to show us how to do that. Father, there is so much work to be done, but so few people willing to step up and take on that responsibility. Father, I pray that today you will speak into each of our hearts and we will know that you have blessed us. And through that blessing, we will want to bless others. Help us, Lord, to know what it is that you want us to do. What are you calling us to do? Help us to stay on that narrow road. help us to finish the race. So when the time comes, we will spend eternity with you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.